Blog Talk Radio. Waiting for you, lift your head over here. Your presence is all is well. I will make it. touch us.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy and strength. All my things have been held in your grace. From the moment that I wake until I lay my head, so I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I love you as the same. Oh, I love you as the same. With every breath that I gave, oh, I will give of the goodness of God. You will let me move my eyes, I'm
Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you, O God, because you are holy. You are worthy. You are mighty. We bless your name today, Lord. As always, God, we ask you to have your way. Father, we decrease that you might increase. Come in to our midst and take control of the atmosphere, O God. We ask you, O God, to move, O God, today by your Spirit, as always. Saturate the atmosphere, Lord God, and take control. Sterilize the atmosphere and move every unclean spirit out of the atmosphere. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory. Bless those that are coming on. Bless those who are listening by way of satellite radio, computers, wherever they are, in whatever nation or continent they are in. We ask you to bless them. Keep them safe and secure from the attacks of the enemy, O God. We know, Father God, that we're living in the satanic time, where darkness is trying to overcome the world. But we recognize that the light of God is too powerful. It is too great for the darkness that's in the earth. Oh, Father, we just honor you this morning. Speak to our hearts this morning, God. We yield to you everything that's within us. We yield to you. And we're asking you to speak, Lord Jesus, to our hearts. We are in great need, O God, of a refreshing this morning, O God. Yesterday, anointing was great. Day before was great. But today we need something, O God. We need a word from heaven that would take us right into your presence, O God. O God, that will shape our hearts for the future, for eternity. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you all that's on the line that we are not going to be on tomorrow. Remember that I have to go. I'm a notary, so I have to go. My notary expired on the 22nd, so I have to go and renew it tomorrow. And it's very hard to get an appointment to renew. Yeah, so I can't play around with it. Because if I expire, then I got to go through the whole stuff I did before, years ago. So we won't be on tomorrow, but we'll be on Saturday afternoon, if the Lord say the same. Today we want to talk with you about this, on the subject matter, an altar unto the Lord, an altar unto the Lord. And as I was looking these scriptures up last night, yesterday evening, I was thinking about, come to my mind is that how we'll pray to God for a new car, we'll pray to God for a new home, better job, more money, a yacht, land, all this stuff we'll pray to God for. And when God blesses us with all these things that we pray for, because he does bless us. He don't give us all at one time, but he blesses us, you know. And when we get these things and they come to us, sometimes we'll tell the people, you know, I've been praying for this and the Lord blessed me. We're excited. The Lord blessed me with this. Sometimes we don't tell anybody anything. We don't want to realize that Jesus, that he blessed us. We don't want to come and say, but God did this for me, you know. So we'll act like we did it on our own. So what happened is we go on without giving God the glory. But we never think about building an altar to the Lord. That's all he wants. Making an altar in your house, in your apartment, maybe in your bedroom, you know. Maybe in some special room you make in the house, that you set up a table in there with a lamp and so on. You have your Bible set up and you have your anointing oil and your wine and stuff for Holy Commune. And certain times you'll go in there and spend time with the Lord, meditating on the Word of God, giving him honor and glory for all that he's done, all that he's doing, all that he will do. You know, we never think about that, you know. We're just so excited when we get the new home and new car and all that stuff. But we never think about having a special place in our homes that we can say, well, this is where I meet with the Lord. This is where I have building my relationship with the Lord. I go into this room. I go into this closet, and I talk with the Lord. Well, here in the book of Genesis, we're talking about an altar unto the Lord, a special place. Really and truly, the altar should be in your heart, in your soul. But we have physical altars that we can touch, you know. But you should have an altar in your soul where you know that the Lord dwells there. But here in this book of Genesis, chapter 35. Let me get it up on the computer here. And Genesis 35. We're talking about an altar unto the Lord. Or you can even say a special place unto the Lord. Here in this book, Jacob been through so much with his uncle, Laban. He had so much trouble with him. He had to work 21 years to get his wives. And then he had to leave in the nighttime, late in the night, to get away from his uncle. Because every time he tried to leave with his children and his wife, his uncle would say, why don't you just stay the night and then you can leave in the morning? And he would get Jacob drunk. Because Jacob liked to drink wine. You know, Jewish people like to drink wine. Even on the holidays, they drink, you know, they drink two or three glasses, you know, through the sermon. And, they, you know, when they're doing the Passover sermon, and they drink a glass of it every so often, you know, you get intoxicated, you know. You know, they're little small glasses, but, you know, the wine is strong. So Jacob finally had to leave his uncle's place, take his two wives, their two sisters, take them and take the children with him and all the sheep and to get away from the donkeys and the mules and stuff to get away from his uncle. Then his uncle, I'm just paraphrasing because that's not part of what I'm teaching today. So I'm paraphrasing this so that we can get to where I am right now. And his uncle Laban, he got his servants and stuff and he traveled after went out to find Jacob. And it took him a lot of time, a lot of days, searching for his nephew, because he wanted his nephew back to keep him in slavery. You see, Laban was a trickster, and you see, this is a lot of time we have to be careful, because the sin spirit that we carry, somebody's got it too, and they will use it on us. Now, Jacob was a trickster. He was a con artist. You know, he conned his brother out of his meal, his birthright. And then his uncle his uncle's using the same tricks on him. You know, he wants this daughter, and the uncle gave him the daughter that he wouldn't want because she has cross eyes. You understand? And the daughter he wanted was beautiful, the one he wanted, you know, which is really his cousin. He wanted her. She was beautiful, but he gave him the other. He said, well, if you just stay and you work for me 7 more years, I'll give you her. And they keep going on there for 21 years. But here in this book, this is what the Bible says. And God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from before Esau, your brother. Then Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods that are in your midst and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us make ready and let us go up to Bethel so that I can make an altar there to the God who answered me in the day of my trouble and who has been with me on the way that I have gone. See, Jacob remembering all that God has done for him. how God has delivered him, how God has rescued him, how God has protected him. When we get our new homes, when we get our big job, pray to God, Lord, if I just, you just allow me, if you just bless me so I can get this, I can get this diploma, I can get this certificate, I can get this degree. Lord, I would do this for you. People bargain, want to bargain with God. One man was singing a song. He's a very good singer, a good worshiper. He got his big, big church in Africa, and he comes to America a lot. But he was said in this song, I didn't like that. He said, God, if you just stay with me, if you just stay with me and do this for me and do that for me, I would worship you and praise you all the days of my life. You can't bargain with God. You know, you just got to do what God said to do. God, if you just give me a new house, I would praise you. No. Just the Lord, I'm going to praise you. Regardless of what happened in my life, I'm going to praise you. But Jacob said, look, we first thing he did here was so powerful that he told the people they got to get rid of the strange gods, the foreign gods, the strange gods, get rid of them, because he knew that there were people that were in the midst. Even though God brought them out of Egypt, they were still messing with all these strange gods. He told them, don't get hooked up with these foreign people. Don't get married to their sons and their daughters. But they still wasn't. And they end up, we talked about Solomon together, they end up married to these people, and they end up worshiping these gods, these foreign gods. So, but Jacob said to them, he said, look, the first thing you got to do, because I could hear Jacob saying, I'm going to Bethel. This is a place of worship. I'm going to Bethel, and when I get to Bethel, I'm going to build an altar unto the Lord. And I don't want to have no confusion. I don't want to have no confusion with these different strange gods, with Baal and Asherah and all of these gods. He says, look, I want you all to get in them garments that you put on to go before them strange gods, get rid of them. Get all that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. So Jacob went on and he said to them, hallelujah. Ah, glory to God. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that were in their hands. And the ornament, the ornamental rings that were in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the oak, which was near Shechem. Then they set out on their journey, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, so that they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, which was in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built an altar there. Come on, computer. He built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, for there God has appeared to him when he fled before his brother. And Deborah, the nurse of Rebekah, died, and she was buried below Bethel, under the oak, and its name was called Alon Bekaf. And God appeared to Jacob again And God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padam Aram, and he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your new name. Then his name was called Israel. And God said to him, I am El Shaddai. God said to him, I am El Shaddai. God told Jacob who his anointed name was. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These are names that people didn't, and Israel, they didn't call out these names. They will only call out these holy names when they are worshiping or praising God. You know, they didn't go around and say, well, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. No, that was only for when it comes into worship. He told Jacob, your name no longer going to be Jacob, but it's going to be Israel. From this day, I'm changing your name. And let me tell you who I am. I'm not any kind of God. My name is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. My holy name is El Shaddai. Because what happened is there are many gods. This is why when people come and they say to me, I'm a Christian. I serve God. You know, I said, which God you serve? I do. I ask them, which God you serve? Because there are many gods. You know, there are many gods. You go to India, they got 138 million different gods. Imagine that. They got a God for everything. They got a God for the tree, a God for the water, a God for the dog, a God for the cat, a God for the cow. You go certain parts of Africa, they got a God for a lot of different things. In some places, they're hungry, they're starving, they got cows, and they wouldn't eat the cow. They wouldn't eat steak. You know, all this stuff that's going on, because that's a God to them. That cow's a God. You see, so he said this had to be canceled. Jacob told him, first, you've got to get rid of all these gods. All these gods got to go. The clothes, the garments that you put on to worship these gods, because, you know, we put on certain gear when we go before God, the robe, and we have the rings on our fingers and all this stuff. That way, you see, you got to get rid of all this stuff. All this satanic stuff that you're carrying, because we're going before the holy God. When we go before him, I'm going to build an altar unto God. See, God has done so much for me. I got to set up an altar in my home. I got to set up an altar on my job. See, in my little office, I got to set up an altar right there. People's not going to know it's an altar, but I know it's an altar. When they're gone, I go there and talk to him. You know, you got to build this altar because why? You want to develop. You want to develop a relationship with him, and you got to set time. See, God likes set time. He like order. Everything to be done decent and in order. So God wants us to come. See, if you tell God, to the God, at 6 o'clock in the evening, 6:30 in the evening, 7 o'clock in the evening, I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna come and seek your face. God is already there. He not waiting till you get there. He's already there. But we are saying, well, you know what? You got to do this for your wife or your husband or your children. You forgot you tell God that every evening at 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm going to go into the prayer room and I'm going to spend 45 minutes for you and an hour with you. All of a sudden, you change the time that you have set to be to develop your relationship. To get closer to him, you got to go to take your wife to the grocery store. You want to go see this movie that's coming out. You want to watch this new movie they have on HBO with Denzel Washington, you understand? So you put God on the back burner. Jacob told him they all got to get rid of this stuff, all this stuff. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. He told Jacob, my name, I am El Shaddai. And he told Jacob, be fruitful and multiply. He said, a nation, an assemblage of nations shall be from you. Jacob is one of the grandsons of Abraham. You understand? And he is, this thing got to come true. The lineage of Abraham. Abraham is going to be many nations, he said. But they're coming out of the lineage, out of the sons and grandsons, granddaughters, that's coming out. Hallelujah. God made this promise with Abraham, and he's fulfilling his promise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And an assemblage of nations shall be from you, and kings shall go out from your loins. And as for the land that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I will give it to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give the land. And God went up from him at the place where he spoke with him. And Jacob set up a pillar at the place where God had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. And he poured out a drink offering upon it and poured oil on it. And Jacob called the name of that place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. Now we understand Jacob is building an altar unto the Lord for all that God has done for him. He's making an altar. We get our fancy house. We got alarm system. We got all this security stuff on the house. But the only thing we don't have in the house is a place to meet God, to meet with him. The place that we call the altar room. I say that the altar really ought to be in our hearts, in our soul. But in reality and naturally, we ought to have a place in our homes where we just don't go in that place anyhow. Because it's a sacred place, it's a holy place. It's just like when the priest in there and they went up to the altar, everybody couldn't go to the altar. People didn't run across the altar, the kids and stuff didn't run across the altar because it was a holy place. And if you go into that place and you wasn't right, you would have lost your life. If the priest wasn't right, he would have died. Matter of fact, the priest had a rope around his waist. And if they didn't hear the tassels around the border of his robe had little bells, and they would ring. You know, I said, go, them bells would, we had a whole bunch of them here. They would jingle. And if they didn't make that jingling sound, the elders know that the priest had died. God had taken his life because he went in there and he wasn't right. And they couldn't go in there to bring him out. They had to draw him out, pull him out. Go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Glory to God. We're talking about an altar unto God. This is not a jumping message. This is a message to open our eyes. God gave me this yesterday. And I said, God, I love it. Here in the book of Genesis 28, let's start at verse 20. Verse 20, let me see. Glory to God. Yes. And Jacob made a vow saying, if you will be with me and protect me on this way that I am going, and gives me food to eat and clothing to wear, and if I return in peace to the house of my father, then God will become my God. And this stone, remember back there, this stone that I have set up as a pillar shall be the house of God. And of all that you give to me, I will certainly give a tenth to you. Sometimes we forget that it's required for us to give to the Lord. Give to the working of the Lord. We just think about ourselves. Me, my four, no more. But you look that Abraham gave a tenth. Hallelujah. All of these mighty men of God, they give to God, to the working of God. Listen to what he said. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Abraham, King James Version, was willing to sacrifice his son to the Lord. And he built an altar, Genesis 22 and 9. Listen. Glory to God. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Built an altar. And he was willing to give his son as a sacrifice unto the Lord. What are you willing to give to God? We cry, we boo-hoo, because the message touched you. But are you willing to give into the kingdom? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. God did the same thing. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Abraham was willing. Can you imagine that? That he know that God requires his son as an offering. And he's building an altar to give his son to God. The altar wasn't something that he just went around and went to Home Depot or Lowe's and just pick up the stuff and boom, just put it there. He had to pick up the stones, all the stones, and lay them in position, get the wood and all that stuff. And all that time you can see him, it going through his mind, I got to give my son to the Lord. But Abraham is just thinking, God, I'm seeing this in the spirit. It's not in the book. I saw this in the spirit that Abraham in his mind is saying, well, you know, I can give him back to God. Because in my old age, God given to me. And if God give me one son in my old age, we already had Ishmael. He give me a son out of my wife's loins, out of her womb, and out of my loins, God can give me another son. Because the same God that delivered me 5 years ago is the same God that healing me now. You got to know this. If you don't get it, you won't get it. You know, we forget what God has done for us. Go to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, King James Version. I have the computers here, but I'm going through the King James Version. Genesis chapter 8. When you get an altar in your house and you make that place, consecrate that altar, and you begin to spend time with God, some people call it the war room. You begin to spend some time in that room. You don't just go in there anyhow. That's a special place unto the Lord, you and God. When you go in there, you know he's going to meet you there because you set up that place for him. You set up that place that you're going to meet with God there at 7:30 every night, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever time you set, you consecrate that place. You anoint that room. You bless it with the word of God. Invite the Holy Spirit. Oh, you'll see some things happening. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, verse 20 says, let's start at verse 20. He says, and no build an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offer burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil. From his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, the day and day and night shall not cease. Seed time and harvest time, we talk about that. You plant seed, you harvest. When you harvest, every time you harvest, you have to get, you have to give God a tenth. Every time you get your paycheck, and don't give God from what you got at the bank. You give him from what you got, you take home. No, you give him from the top, from all that, what the government take out, you got to go from that, from gross, not net, from gross. So he says here, let's go over here to First Kings. Let's go to First Kings chapter 8. We just want to give you a little summary today. Of course, this altar, man, I told last time, I couldn't sleep, I tell you, because I was hearing this thing so much. Even though I read through all the scriptures, and I looked at these in the Logos in the faith, got a lot of narration in the Logos Bible, but you know, she's not getting the King James Version. Let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. Let him do his work. 1 Kings chapter 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. We build that altar. I mean, you say, well, I got a nice home. I got a nice supply. I don't have an altar. You may have a big walk-in closet. Big walk-in closet. May have two or three of them in your house. Dedicate one to the Lord. Okay, I'm going to make this closet because, you know, point, all this stuff I got in this closet, I don't use anywhere. I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to give it to Salvation Army because I want to be able to get up in that altar, get up in there, and I want to put a nice mat in there, and I want to come go in that and just kneel down before the Lord, sit down before the Lord. However, maybe go there and stretch out on my belly before the Lord and talk to him. When I go in there, close the door. You know, when I come in this room, I can hear them in the living room. But when I come in this room, they don't bother me. Because they know I'm working for the Lord. And this is the place you want to have, a place that you can go in and just spend time with him. Hallelujah, glory to God. Here in Genesis, in 1 Kings chapter 8. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him, to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven. That's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 31. Then hear thou in heaven, and do, and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. God sees and hears all. If you're walking right, he's going to judge you rightfully. And if you're walking wrong, you're going to get judged according to your works. This is what the scripture is saying. According to your works. Hallelujah. If they come against you wrongfully, God going to judge them for coming against you. You don't have to go take up a weapon. I was watching a show the other night, 2 nights ago, on YouTube. You'll probably see it too, Minister Jones, because I know you watch a lot of YouTube like me. And it was a Christian church, but a Spanish church. And the Holy Spirit was moving in that place. They were speaking in towns and all. Oh, the Holy Spirit was moving. And this man came, a young man, didn't like to hear the name Jesus. Goes into the church, and he got this machete under his jacket. You know what a machete is, like a sword. He got the machete on his jacket, because he going to kill the pastor because the pastor preaching about Jesus. So he comes in the church. The people saw him coming, but his hand underneath his jacket, holding the machete. They didn't say anything to him. They're praying. They study praying. Some people singing, some people praying. He comes in the church and he sits right in the front row. So the word of God, the spirit of God was disturbing his spirit so much. He jumps up and pulls the machete out. And he started walking up the altar. And told the prayer walker, just walked towards him speaking in tongues. And he fell down there with a sword. Fell down with the sword, almost stabbed himself with the sword. See, when the house get right, The devil might come in, but he can't do nothing in the house. But the house got to get right. This is what Jacob did. That's the first thing he did. Get rid of all the stuff. We got to clean the house. We got to purify the house. We got to sanctify the house. We got to sterilize the house so the house become clean. It's a house that where God wants to come into. He wants to spend time. I shared with you all when I was much younger in the church and I was still dibbing and dabbing, slipping in and out. Like one of them soul singers says, slipping into darkness. Pretty soon you're going to have to pay. Well, I was slipping in and out. And when pastor was passing through, people was falling out. But I didn't experience no falling out. And in the sanctuary, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, where I'm not feeling, where I'm not experiencing the presence, like my brothers and sisters. And he told me, he said, my temple, this is what he says, my temple was contaminated. He said, I can visit you, but I can't stay there. He said, I can't stay there because of the temple. And I started to cry, my pastor and his wife. They asked me, said, what's wrong? I said, the Lord just told me that he can't stay in my temple because my temple is contaminated. And I had to repent and ask God to clean me up from the, because I was dressed up. I was a dressed up garbage can. And we still got a lot of them today. People look the part, but they're not living the part. Go to Exodus 27. Exodus chapter 27. Verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. Its horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. See, you making stuff of God, don't give God any old thing. God gives you ideas of how to set up the altar. People are teaching, Apostle. They're teaching and preaching, but don't believe what they're teaching. They don't believe what they're preaching. They set up the church the way they want to set up. Don't ask God nothing. Set up the building the way they want to set it up. God is giving instructions here how to build the altar. This is given to Moses. You know, when Aaron's sons was coming into the priesthood, and God told him, Aaron and his sons, he gave Moses a schematic, the plan, how to make the garments, the robes, the garments, the priestly robes for Aaron and his sons. And Moses had to make everything the same, the way God said. And then he said that they may come and minister to me before me first. We forget that we are ministering to God first. We don't pick up any old thing. What is God saying? God, what do you want me to release tonight? What do you want to hear out of my spirit tonight? It's what we need. Give God the best that you can. Make a way. Make a way. Say, Lord, I want to bless these people down the street. They don't have anything. A man came by and he had his trash. And throw the trash on the homeless man. Another man, his girlfriend or wife, whatever it is, sitting in the car and saw this arrogant man, throw the trash on the homeless man because he believed that he was better than the homeless man. And the man went down and gave the homeless man. The homeless man said, all kind of money. He said, I can't take that money. The man said, look, I saw what that fella did to you, degrading you. He says, and I have more than enough. He says, I want to give you enough so you can get a start for your life. We want God to bless us. We want God to continue to improve our lives, but we don't want to help anybody. If you get to the altar of God, to that altar that you set up for God, and you spend time at that altar, God will bless you. God will bless you. I was just talking to somebody. Well, I say through the email. And I know the people are going through. I know, Apostle, I know they're going through. They can't pay their light bill. The lights were just cut off. The water is about to be turned off. It's not like here. And I told the family, I said, look, do see what you can do. I said, but I'm healing real fast. As soon as I get back on my feet, which is going to be pretty soon, that I'll be back in full commission, I'm going to help you all because I know you're not able to sustain what you need to. This is what we live for. Numbers chapter 6. I'm almost finished. Glory to God. Numbers chapter 6. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Numbers. We're talking about this altar. There's so much scripture. You know, as I was looking at this apostle, there's so much scripture in the Bible about an altar unto God. And they also have a lot of satanic altars. Altars unto Baal. Altars unto Baal. Or Baal, however you want to pronounce it. If you're looking, why did they put so much, why did God have so much altars inside here to him? Because God knows that if we will spend time at the altar, we'll get closer to him. Just the same way he got them altars in there, because he said he saw the people being diverting away from him. They're going and worshiping Baal, and he wants us to see that the consequences that they experience when they worship the satanic entities. So we see it from both sides. We see it that when we spend time worshiping God, that we bless, we heal. We're restored of all the things that the enemy tried to put us into. Here in this book, he says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, verse 1, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar or wine or vinegar or strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. This is what God is saying. See, God know that you don't try to say, well, I'm just going to have the kernels. The kernels, if you eat enough kernels, you're going to get intoxicated. If you mess with the husk, you're going to get intoxicated. God's given us. He said, all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. So you're spending time with the Lord. You're spending time with the Lord. And you don't have to do a whole lot of stuff. God already instructs us how to prepare ourselves to be with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't need to shave my face and shave my head and put on all this stuff. Just get in his presence. What I need to do is separate myself from strong drink. Because, see, when I'm dipping in there, I got some wine right there. I got some wine and raisins that I got. Raisins, I got onions in there. And I got garlic in there. It's been fermenting for months now. And I take a sip of that for my stomach, you know, cold and stuff. But then I got another bottle of wine that I use for Holy Communion. And price how long the bottle lasts. Because when I was drinking, man, it would go. I'm not going to say in a day, because it went faster than the day. But I know that in maybe an hour or so, that bottle of wine or less will be gone. But I'm consecrated unto God. You see, so he said, all the days of the vow that you make unto God, separation. There shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled to the complete. In the which he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days of that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. Don't go around the dead. I'm not going to any funeral. Yeah, there we had funeral. We had one of our uncles die. Man, I said, man, I'm not going to think. I'm going to the house of the Lord. You know, God is healing my body. He said, I'm going to the house of the Lord. Let them go today. Don't go around dead bodies. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. Do you hear that? You're separated unto God. Most of us don't, we don't read this scripture in Numbers chapter 6. We don't study it, and we don't keep it. If somebody dead, brother, sister, dead, no, I got to go to the funeral. If you consecrate yourself unto God, you consecrate yourself. You're making yourself holy unto God. Don't go to the graveyard. Now, if you're not consecrated unto God, you can go to the funeral. You can go down to the graveyard. He said, all the days of his separation or consecration is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in that day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. Verse 9, jump down. Verse 9 says. And on the eighth day, verse 10, he shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the consecration. See, we don't realize a lot of things that we should be doing. A lot of times you want to get out of stuff that these witches and warlocks is trying to put on your life, trying to pull you away from kingdom lifestyle. Sometimes you just got to make an offering. Give an offering to the Lord. Give an offering to the priest. Give an offering to the reverend. Say, look, unto the Lord. You don't got to tell him what it's for. See, I'm sowing a seed into the kingdom, into somebody's life, because I'm expecting God to do something for me. I'm not bargaining with God, but I know that when I give, God is going to give, because he says, when I give to the poor, I lend to him, and he will repay. So I'm expecting, I know God's going to do something for me. It may not come in the financial matter, but it may come in the health matter. It may come deliverance for my sons or daughters or grandchildren. Healing for them. Go to Numbers. Leviticus. Go to Leviticus. Let's see what we got here. Let's see. Leviticus chapter 6. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus, I tell you. Hallelujah. Man, there's nothing like more than consecrating yourself. I mean, than really setting yourself in line with God. When you feel that stuff come over you, you know that you are being purified. Not because you're all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but because of who he is. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's go to verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which would deliver him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taketh away by violence, or have deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and life concerning it, and swear falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth sinneth therein, then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took verily away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him, to keep or lost thing which he found. Now, verses 9 says, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches as his underwear, shall be put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire have consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fair altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Do you hear that? This fire represents the Spirit of God, the holiness of God. It shall never go out. Hallelujah. It's the same way with your heart, my heart, our heart. Our hearts have the altar of God. It should be on fire continuously for God. Our heart should be on fire. Not only on Sunday morning, not only on Wednesday night. Do you hear me? We should be on fire for God all the time. We only want to hear, oh, pastor preaching good, pastor preaching good. What about when you go to the church and you don't hear the song that you want to go? You want to hear. Listen to what the Lord says to Moses, Numbers chapter 6. All the days of his separation is holy unto the Lord. Do you hear that? All the days. Let us go over to First Kings. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter, that was the Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7, sorry. And then we go to 1 Kings. A couple more scriptures we're going to get over here. Numbers chapter 7. Glory to God. This is good book. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's go all the way over here. This is a big, long chapter. Numbers chapter 7, verse 84. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 charges of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold, each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, each bowl 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels after the shekels of the sanctuary. Now look, as you read this, it talks about abundance of the gifts that they're giving to God. It wasn't that they were holding back. They were given out of all that God has given to them. You understand what I'm saying? And I look and see all the gold and silver that they give to God. God don't want this stuff. But they're giving this stuff to God. It's in his house. Remember in Malachi, he said, bring the tithes and offer it into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. He said, try me, test me. And see if I won't pour you a blessing that you don't have room enough to. And I was asking the stuff. I asked the Lord. I said, why do we have to bring the meat into the storehouse? The tithes and the offer. He said, look, so there'll be meat in my house. I said, well, God, you don't need no meat. He said, so that when somebody come by, somebody called and said, Pastor, I can't put food on the table for my kids. The kids are going to school, and they got holes in their shoes. I remember that when I was younger. My mother couldn't afford to put shoes, and she had to put cardboard sometime in the shoe so my foot would hit the ground. Hallelujah. So God says, when they come to the house and they want some new sneakers you can get, don't question them. Say, what church you go to? That's not your job. Your job is to do what God instructs you to do. Give to the, help the widows. Help the fatherless, the orphans. This is your job. That's why we give. We don't give so we can raise a red flag or a white flag. So look, I give to this body, give to that body. That's not what we give. We give because God has commanded us to give. He said, giving and shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Men going to give to you. I'm laying here the other day, and all of a sudden, there's several hundred dollars in the cash app. And I call nobody and tell them that they got to give. I didn't call nobody and say, well, you know, we got some people now that really need. And I call nobody and tell them. But somebody said, God touched your heart. And know that you need help. First Kings. God is blessing the ministry. Go ahead and read that from verse 84 to the end. And you will see the power of God. The blessings of God. I mean, people don't go a lot in the Old Testament, but I love the Old Testament because I see a lot of God's hand. God's hand is in the New Testament too. His hand is from Genesis to Revelation. But when you go back in the Old Testament, you see some stuff that just wakes you up. And see how blessed we are through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we said without the shedding blood, no remission. But I'm telling you something. In the Old Testament, some of the stuff that we did and some of the stuff that we're doing in God's house, we will be dead. Many of us will be dead. Here in 1 Kings chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 7, hallelujah, verse 48. And Solomon made all the vessels that pertain unto the house of the Lord, the altar of gold and the table of gold were upon the showbread, where upon the showbread was, and the candlesticks was of pure gold. Five of on the right side and five on the left. Before the oracle with the flowers, with the lamps and the tongues of gold. The tongues is what picks up the coals. And the bowls and the snuffers and the basins and the spoons and the censers of pure gold and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner house, the most holy place, and for the doors of the house, to wit of the temple. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David, his father, had dedicated, even the silver and the gold. And the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Solomon did not hold back when he was setting up the house of God. I could imagine Apostle just looking at that altar and I seeing the pure gold, not a mixed with lead, not like the stuff they got today mixed with lead and zinc and all that stuff, copper and stuff, pure gold. I mean, you could see your picture reflecting in the gold. Everything, even the tongs that pick up the coals from the altar, was pure gold. Can you imagine that? Because he wanted God, the God of his father, to have the best. We want to give God what we want to give God. But when we come to God, we want God to give us his best. 1 Kings chapter 8. We got one more scripture and give you, and we're going. Listen. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, the oath come before thine altar in that this house. Listen. When people are acting up beyond the natural way, bring them before the altar. They need to come before the altar. People swearing and cutting up and all that stuff, bring them before the altar. That's where we bring them and lay your hands on them. Pray for them. Pray with them. Don't kick them out of the church. Bring them to the altar. Speak over their lives. Let the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. He's a great doctor. And what he says, bring him to the altar. He's making an oath. He's swearing. He talk about the wicked person and the condemning the wicked and all this stuff here in this chapter. Bring him before the altar. People out the house. We don't want to give him a second chance. Because this is my church. That's what he says. My ministry. My ministry is my life. That's my ministry. This is God's ministry. Block Talk Radio. But my ministry is my life, and I got to live that men would see my good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Last scripture. Go to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Glory be to God. I know this is not a jumping message, but this is the message that God gave me last night. Let's start at verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophir that pertaineth unto Joash the Bezerite, and his son Gideon threshing wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, this is unto Gideon, and the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, where then is all this befallen us? Isn't that like us? If things don't happen the way that we want them to happen, we question why God allowed these things to happen to us. It's here in the Bible. Gideon said, the Lord's with us. Why are all these things happening? He said, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from from Egypt. But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. It is like Moses. Then God sent him out. We always want to justify. Let God tell you, go, just go. You're looking at yourself, looking at your statues. You remember when David went up before Goliath? King Saul said, where's this boy coming over here? He's not able to go. He's just a little boy. To go before this giant, and he tried to put on all of his armor, tried to put all his armor on David. And David said, look, I don't need that armor. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord, in the power of the Lord. You know, all I need is 5 smooth stones. I'm going to get some stones, and I got my sling right here. Because somewhere David knew he had 4 other brothers. Hallelujah. You just got to trust God. It don't look like it's going to work out for me. It don't look like it's going to work out for you in the natural. Because we look in the natural. If we don't see it, we don't believe it. You and I, we all do. That's our nature. Natural nature of a human being. You promised me something, but I don't see it coming. So I don't believe that I'm going to get it until I get it. This is why I don't put my trust in that, depend on, say, well, this body going to do it, this body going to do it. I don't do that. If it happened, it happened. I put my trust in God. God said he's going to supply my need. He said he's going to help me do what I'm doing. He is my helper. You ought to do the same thing. Trust God. The moment you put your trust in a woman or man, you're going to come up short. Because there's something may come up in their life, not that they don't want to help you, but something may come up in their life that they got to take care of first. You're on the back burner. You're not on the front burner. So now you stand there waiting. You're there waiting. You understand? I got some message yesterday. It said some people was coming on the line today. They're not here. Why didn't they come looking for them? I come on because I got to get a word recorded because people are all over the world want to download it. And so we got people in Kenya, a lot of people in Kenya that are listening. We have to record. So hear what he says. Hear what he says. Ooh. Verse 15 says, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Read this already. And I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You're going to take them down. Hallelujah, glory to God. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace or favor in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Didn't Moses say the same thing? Huh? Want to see a sign. Moses said, if he don't see the glory, he not going anywhere. Depart not hence, I pray thee, Gideon, talking to God. And come unto thee. I come unto thee. And bring forth my presence. And set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and 11 cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket And he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake and lay them upon the rock, this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. The rock represents the altar. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah for the Abiezrite. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock, and seven years, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. And in this ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt or sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who have done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. See, Gideon operate under the power, under the anointing of God, under the instructions of the Lord. He was killed in the daytime. So he went in the nighttime and cut down. His father was an idol worshiper, worshiping Baal. So he went in the nighttime and he was afraid. A lot of the people in the city worship the satanic God, Baal. And he was afraid for his life, but he was still honoring and obeying God. See what I'm saying? He still honored God. He went out in the nighttime, the God presence, and he tore down all that stuff. And he made the sacrifice, gave the offering to God. Hallelujah. And God bless him. He said, let me use a couple more verses here. We go. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die. Hallelujah. Because he have cast down the altar of Baal, and because he have cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whence it is yet morning. For if he be a god, let him plead for himself. because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Abinazar was gathered after him. And he sent messages throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messages unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece. No. Gideon wanted to see if God is really who he said he is, if he's going to stand by his word. Gideon had the fleece, and he tested God now. He says, behold, I put a fleece of wood on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dried upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. I will speak but once. Let me prove, I pray thee. But this once will the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece, only there was dew on all the ground. We serve an awesome God, people. We can build an altar to God. Matter of fact, let your heart be the altar of God. When things are happening, trust God to come true for you. Trust him to come true for you. He's an awesome, mighty God, and he never fails. I haven't read in this Bible yet. Maybe one of you scholars on this line can show me or tell me where God, the God of all fathers, has lost a battle. Just tell me. Maybe you can send me a text message or email and tell me where he lost a battle. And if you can't tell me that, that's the reason to trust him, because he never lost a battle. He's a great, mighty God. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We ask you to bless the airways, bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. The word has gone forth. God, we have done as you said to do. We talked about the altar today, and we show how important it is to have an altar unto you, Lord. Lord, all other altars must come down. The altars that we have built up in our minds, in our spirit, in our soul, Lord, we pull them down right now. And Lord, we come to you with a heart of repentance, asking for your forgiveness for the time that we didn't trust you to show up at our altar. We come today, Lord. We're asking for mercy and grace for this nation. Father, we are going in the wrong direction. People are stabbing people in the streets. People are hungry, Lord. They're breaking into people's homes and doing all types of crimes, Lord. Father, we cry out for our nation. We cry out for the government officials. Lord, we ask that you strengthen the people in their homes, especially the elderly that can't get out. We ask, oh God, that you give them strength and send protection for them, Lord. Lord, if there's no one in the natural, Lord, just as you send the angel to Gideon, you are God all by yourself. You could send the angel to these folks to protect them, to keep them safe from the hands of the enemy. We thank you, Father. We praise you. All that you are doing for us, all that you have done for us. We ask you to save those that call upon you today for salvation. Those that repent and call upon your name today. We ask you to save them. I want to open the line here for anyone that want to respond to this word that you hear today, talking about an altar unto the Lord. You can come on in. Okay, there's a lot of people on the line, and nobody's seen anything. So we're going to pray, and we're going to get out of here. Can we thank God for you, though? I want to let you know that we really appreciate you. We really, really, really appreciate you, all that you do. You come on and you support the line, and we can't do this. We couldn't do this without you. I tell you the truth. So we praise God for you, that you come and support what we are doing in the awesome name of Jesus. We ask that God will continue to bless you and protect you. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God. And, O God, if there's somebody out here that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, give them this opportunity right now. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We just thank God for you. We are going to get out of here today and do what thus says the Lord. We got some things we're going to do now, clean up some stuff around here. And we'll see you all, not tomorrow, but tomorrow. I have an appointment tomorrow, so I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I have to get my notary license. You know, I've had that, and it expired on the 22nd of this month, so now I got to go and renew. You know, because people come, they want stuff notarized. We got to go get that tomorrow. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. And thank you for honoring what we have done. We thank you, Father God, for the one that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And we ask, Father God, that you bless the day. We ask that you bless. Oh God, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we ask, oh God, that you give them the opportunity today, Lord God, that you look beyond their faults and you see their needs. Bible also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Father, we ask you now to look down from your throne in glory. Heal and deliver. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the opportunity. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. It's not promised to anybody. We having people that are being shot down in the streets because all this stuff that was talking with all this stuff with immigrants in New Jersey, and they're robbing people and all this kind of stuff. And all our government has brought that on us. The murders and all this stuff, they brought it on us, you know, and we have to deal with it, you know. So we pray, Father God, that you just draw people to you, Lord. Draw the lost to you, Father. You know, let them see how much you love them. Allow them to look beyond their faults and Lord, know that you are able. You're able, oh God, to heal, deliver, and restore. Because you're God. You're God all by yourself. We praise you, God. We honor you. And we bow down before you right now, thanking you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask, Father God, as you deliver, restore, and as you draw into your presence, God, that you make difference in people's lives. Lord, that you make it in ours as we call out to you in our knees. For salvation, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, continue to strengthen the church. Continue to strengthen the pastors and the leaders. Give them what they need. Give them the food that they need for your people. Oh, God, the right words, oh, God, unconditionally, Lord God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just, this is very uncommon for me today because we are doing something in the house today, cleaning, so. You know, it distracts me. Yes, the Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. So I'm calling on you today, right now, this very moment, to come and into my heart. Take control of my soul. Set me free from my sins, and I'll be set free. Jeremiah says, save me, and I'll be saved. Heal me, and I'll be healed. If you said that prayer, you have just received salvation. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But remember, you got to repent, according to Acts 2 and 38. You got to repent for your sins. Apostle says, if you repent, and be baptized, because you have to be baptized. That's part of your salvation. You know, that ties everything together, repentance. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You understand? So, repent and give your life completely to Jesus. Hallelujah. Give your life to him. You know, he'll turn things around for you, just like he's doing for me. See, because he haven't stopped. He started the turnaround for me, for us, here on Blog Talk Radio, and he's constantly doing something, keeping us moving in that direction. Call up your pastor, a pastor that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell him that you received the gift of salvation. That you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you may not recognize that you feel. But we know that God cannot lie. Because he says when you repent and you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So now you call up a preacher, pastor, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. And before you get baptized in Jesus' name, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers. Invite them. Because you want them to know that you have given your life to Christ. You understand? You have given your life to Christ. Your life will never be the same. Find a church, and you go down, you get baptized, you come out that pool. We call it the lake and grave. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Get yourself involved in ministry. Don't just be a spectator, but be a participator. Because a lot of people, they just come to see, come to look. But you don't just want to see. You want to be a part of what God is doing. You hear me? You want to be a part of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I always go. A lot of times when I visit churches, when I get a chance that I can visit, I don't know why, but most of the times the preacher would invite me to come and say something or do something. Well, I'd like to do something. I don't say, well, I'm here. I can't do anything. Because you have something. God give me something to do. He put it inside my heart, and I do it. So we thank God for each and every one of you that received the gift of salvation. And we thank God for you all that heard this word today about the altar. I pray that you would take time out to set up an altar in your home, that you allow your heart to become an altar. I pray that you do that. You know, you take that time out. Because it's important for you to make a place that God wants to dwell in. And you see in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this time that God, you know, he always with his people, but there was time that he didn't dwell with them because, well, they were worshiping idols and all that kind of stuff. So he had to let them go into captivity. And then the captivity and the treatment of the enemies drive them back to him. Glory to God. So we thank God for you all. We're going to get out of here. Father, we just thank you and praise you for those that came on today. Thank you for Apostle Stewart. Thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you for Deacon Fraser. Thank you for Brother Robert. And we thank you for Elder, who was on here with us through this whole sermon, and someone else. We just thank God for all those that came on today. And we pray that this word has resonated with all of us. It wasn't a jumping word. It wasn't a screaming word. But it was a word that I believe that makes sense to me, to God and to us. If it wouldn't make sense, God would not have put it in the Bible. So we just ask that you all just stay safe and secure wherever you are. Pay attention to your surroundings, because we have a lot of people in this country now that don't care about us. They don't even care about themselves, because I don't know how they just got here and they got guns already. So maybe they come over and they brought guns with them, because they're not, like the people say, they're not vetting them. So they're not checking them all the way out to see. They got knives, they got guns, they got nothing. And they're killing people. They're fighting with the police and all that kind of stuff. So pay attention to your surroundings. Your day is not going like it was before. When you go to the gas station, pay attention to your surroundings. People are in need. People come in here expecting that there's some trees that grow money in the United States of America. But I live here for 47 plus years, and I ain't never seen no tree with money. You got to get up and go to work, you know. So we are, the president has put us in that dilemma. And we got to deal with it. So pay attention, because the life you save might be your life, telling you the truth. Have a blessed day, a safe day. And if you get a chance, come on back on Saturday afternoon and let's fellowship in the Lord. We don't know what I'm trying to get you. Prophetess to come on Saturday. I'm going to respond from her yet. If not, we'll come back and bring another word, because the Bible is filled. God bless you all. Remember, I love you. But Jesus loves you more. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. May it stop someone from committing suicide. May it stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that the attributes of Jesus Christ, the principles of Jesus Christ will be seen in our lives as we walk according to them. As we study the principles and we begin to live the principle, people will see that we are his disciples. God bless you and God keep you. And God cause his face to shine upon you and God give you peace in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.